Okay, we're back on the record. So we have a report on pending appeal.
Yes, I think we're just going to report on one item, and McGee's going to do that. It should be brief.
Dina McGee, I am counsel to the commission in the town of Avon versus Asheray and FLIC appeal. The last meeting I reported that we had prevailed at the appellate court in that matter, and we were waiting to hear if the plaintiffs would be filing a petition for cert, which they have done at this time. They filed that late on Monday. So we will be opposing their request to have the Supreme Court take up that case. And our opposition is due a week from tomorrow. So very quick turnaround. So hopefully we'll get that, we will get that filed, not hopefully, we will get that filed, and then we'll hear from the Supreme Court on whether they'll take up those issues.
Otherwise we lose. Right?
Yeah. So we thought that, we thought the case was over, but it's not.
It's not over until it's not
yet. That's right. You'll be better.
Right. Thanks, Danielle.
Sure.
Okay, under our executive director's report, just to report that three out of the four of our commissioners who were scheduled for their reappointment made it through yesterday, but Owen Egan's, they just did not get to you, we think, Owen. We don't think that there's any particular
I can just give you a little bit. So it sounds terrible, and I thought, oh, no. They were in session, and you were on the docket to go before them, but it was the girls were playing. They were supposed to stay there at night. They'd already ordered dinner, and Matt Ritter said, "We're out of here. We have a girls' game. Go!" So they went through as fast as they could, and I'm so sorry.
I was first.
I was first. They took the C back first, and then they went on.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
So hopefully then the next time it comes up, it won't coincide with another basketball game.
I hope so. That's all right. Basketball is important. So.
Connecticut?
Wow.
Okay. I think we'll move to legislative report. Nothing under staff reports. We do have our administrative assistant starting at the end of next week. And then on to the legislative report from Paula and Russell. And Paula sent you this wonderful list. Very compact, small writing.
Well, it was a size 12 font, but that was taken as much longer. Hopefully it's not too small. I won't go through the whole list, but I did just want to point, I have a correction on House Bill 5410. That's the one that exempts information regarding certain vulnerable individuals. The description of what's in the proposal is correct, but I'm giving a status update. It's the language that I have in this document. It was actually substitute language. So I indicated it was joint favorable out of committee, but it was really, there was substitute, it was voted out of committee with substitute language. And what the difference is, that was the proposal that we talked about at the last meeting where it would exempt two different categories of records. One proposal that was raised before the public hearing was with respect to records of CHRO dealing with investigations of sexual harassment and also discriminatory practices. So that's, our statement was on that. We testified on that language, but really, it turns out what the concern was, the proposal was intended to exempt, as I state here, it's all records related to an investigation, any public agency, all records related to investigations of alleged sexual harassment or the alleged discriminatory practice. So I just wanted to make that clarification that is, in fact, like the substitute language. So the reference to CHRO was taken out of the proposal. So now it's not just CHRO records, it's records that are maintained, kept by any public agency regarding this this issue. So that's really, I just wanted to, I mean, I can go, we can go through it, but you do have.
You of them.
Yeah.
Any question, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sure.
If you don't mind, I'm looking at Commissioner Farish. How do they define high-risk AI systems? Have they talked about that?
Well, I think I would leave that to Nick to actually.
Generally, you could plug in like about employment and go ahead.
So Nick is had been working on the task force with Colleen dealing with AI. He actually wrote our statement that we submitted. He's a lot more tech savvy than I am, so we're going to let Nick answer that.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, so the high-risk AI systems really focus on anything that would be what they identify as a consequential decision, and really that has anything that's going to have a material impact on someone's legal rights, anything regarding an individual's right to access the criminal justice system, as well as it extends also some private entities as well, and really think of any other highly regulated areas such as loans, housing, and employment. Those are kind of the highlight areas for what's considered as a high-risk AI system. And the main thing is that those AI systems are being, it comes into effect and those AI systems are being integrated into those areas. So if they're not being integrated into those areas, then it's not going to have any impact on it.
Okay, thank you.
So you did highlight some of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Not all of them.
I would say with Senate Bill 234, we did work with DESPE regarding some of the language. The extension of 1-210B3A, that was added. It wasn't something that we discussed with anyone regarding the exemption of the identity of mandated reporters. But the section, the amendment to witness statements, we did work with DESPE so that now the exemption is for signed or sworn witness statements. And the change to 1-210B27, we didn't really take issue with that because it aligns to what there's an exemption already in the body cam statute. So it's, I mean, yes, it expands the exemption in our act, but it really, like I said, aligns to an existing statute of dealing with body video that's captured on body cams. The FOI recommendations did make it out of committee, so 3 years in a row, so we'll see what happens with that. As is, no changes were made. It came up for a discussion. The only question that was really asked was by Representative Master Francesco regarding the handheld scanner and the fee that could be charged. So from my understanding, it was her concern was if you're using your personal phone, should you, have to still pay the $20. But, our proposal didn't, or the commission's proposal didn't recommend changing the fee structure, just keeping it at $20. Let's see. Our main concern, or the one that's, it would really have a detrimental impact, significant impact on access to records is really 394. That's the one that deals with the university records. It came out as is with the language that I quoted there. So again, it would pretty much apply to all records maintained or kept on file by faculty or any staff of a public institution of higher learning. So.
Not all records. Records arising out of teaching or research, right?
Our argument is that everything that university does, what doesn't arise out of teaching?
Teaching is the word.
I would think that, there are public institutions.
You're focused on the word teaching.
Teaching, arising out of teaching.
But teaching could also mean teaching.
Like it could also mean
classroom teaching. It's a word some people might understand.
And
to mean
none
teaching.
Of these, and none of these are defined.
Right.
So that's that's a concern with the university.
Right. Focused on that word teaching.
The focus
as to its broadness or narrowness, is there?
What we're hearing a lot is that they're really focused on research.
Right, that's what
I that the exemption only applies to research. But looking at the language as written, when you see that it's records maintained or kept on file by for the faculty of the staff, public institution of higher learning arising out of teaching, it begs the question, like, what at a university doesn't arise?
Right. But if teaching? The record of the discussion on the floor, for example, could clarify, if there were representatives who were to clarify this in the teaching and research direction, that might be helpful. I don't know. More narrow reading, possibly, of these words.
Yeah, and what's interesting is the initial proposal last year, before it got out of the committee, was narrower to the research point, and then it got broadened, and I think that increased our concern, because to Paul.
I share your concern. I'm just wondering how we can clarify it on the floor somewhere, so narrow before it gets adopted. Sorry.
No, it's like we're here to answer questions. Let's see, with Senate Bill 431, the language that is actually, the language it's in there that still has the exemptions, it still deals with records of allowing agencies to charge a production fee for disclosure. A positive out of that bill, they came out so that an individual who might be, if the requester is what they called an involved person, they don't have to, they're not charged at all for the request. So it still has, the proposed exemptions, which, we believe are unnecessary, and we shouldn't expand it to exempt that information. But I have to say, they did carve out, at least on the redaction side. So that limited way is positive. Let's see, all the proposals for the addresses, to exempt addresses of public employees, the one that is very broad and applies to addresses of every municipal and state employee, the one dealing with, the one specific to the Attorney General's office, that went through, the one dealing with election workers, both volunteer and public employees, that also made it out of committee, as is. Let's see.
Can I just ask a quick question on that?
Sure.
So how does that, those House bills go, measure up against the Senate bill, which says all public employees? Are these two trees sort of trying to find the middle ground? Or?
If the legislature, I think, wants it to be broader, I think they would just take up the one that says all public employees. And then perhaps if they want to apply to the election workers, they might have to. They may just amend.
So there are two trains running us.
There are
quite
two trains, but tracks. If they want all of it to pass, I think they're just going to amend one of the bills, so that the AG would be, they would be included in the one that's all public employees. But the election workers, the address of election workers, they would have to amend one of the proposals to add them, because some of those individuals are not public employees,
right.
Volunteers. So if they do choose to proceed with all of this, I think they would have to amend.
Yeah.
They would have to amend.
Leaving the options open to see which train.
Yeah, which train.
One train is on a wide track.
Right. So let's see. The bill dealing with the budget information, they had hearings, but they haven't been voted out of committee yet. Let's see.
There was one, the proposal that's at the top of page 2, deficiency appropriations. So I think it was pretty widely reported that there were a number of agencies that were in deficiency, and the one of the solutions is to look at agencies who have money at the end of the year and, just kind of grab that money. So we were sort of surprised to see that there was a proposed deficiency appropriation for our agency of $300,000, which we opposed. And I think that will go away. But I think they might have thought we were going to have some money because of the new positions we have, and that it's taken a little bit of time to fill them. But we said no to that, so it's a bit unusual.
The remote meeting one, that's the next one after the efficiency proposal. I believe at the last meeting, we talked about that. That would require anyone on a board, well, at least limited to municipal public agencies, this distinct category of three. They would be required to be on video if they're going to participate remotely while they're voting or participating. We didn't have an objection to that, but they needed to clarify some language because in one part of it says you're required to be on video, and then there's a second part that says unless you can't be on video. So they needed to, we suggested clarifying that, but made it out of committee without the clarification.
Question, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So, Attorney Perlman.
Yes.
So that would require, if you're on one of these boards, you have to have your camera on during a Zoom meeting. Is that, that's what they mean by on video?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So if you're participating in the discussion and when you're voting, you would have to be on video. But it's limited to three, and I apologize, I don't have it in front of me, but it's Board of Ed,
Boards of Finance, and then whatever.
Is it a legislative
body? Like your town council or your Board of Selectmen.
It's not every board.
Highest.
Yeah, it's not every board. Last year, there was a
larger municipal agencies.
Last year, it was broader. There were more agencies. It applied to more agencies.
Thank you.
Let's see. Spoke about 5410. 5447 is the address, the AG address. We spoke about 5448, that one's the addresses of the election workers. And then 5498, this is the one that further limits access to voter records. This one's concerning because this one deals just specifically with voter records, but it's limiting how information can be, like who gets the information. And so the categories that they've said of those who can get it is if it's related to elections, scholarly, journalistic, political, governmental purposes. None of that is defined. And who is a journalist? You know, how do you define a journalist nowadays? With respect to what is a governmental purpose, that's left to the Secretary of State to decide what would be a governmental purpose. It says that you can't use it for personal, private, or commercial purpose. Again, what exactly is a personal purpose or private? What's the difference between private and personal? I'm not sure. None of it's defined. So, but really, overall, it's concerning because it's limiting access. It's questioning why somebody would want information, and that one's concerning too. So I have my own ranking in my head of what is was concerning, but
you have a lot of others. But this
there
is
are
sort
a lot of others.
Hot list,
yeah, this is normally I would call it the hot list. I decided to call it priority bills this session, but so to be continued. So we'll see.
Thank you.
We're setting up meetings with legislators, so we are trying to, reach people and explain our concerns. So to the extent anyone else can do that, we appreciate it. So.
Thank you.
I think that's great.
Okay. Business.
Mr. Chairman, that's Reader.
Commissioner Hankinson.
This has been made and seconded. We'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Pizzeschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Ganschman?
Yes.
Sorry. Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Paul Megan, yes. Passes unanimously.
It's military time.